Now we discuss a different algorithm, which is very similar and indeed in practice it is equivalent to the umbrella sampling. And indeed it represents a stochastic version of the umbrella sampling method. Again, we consider, we have a set of R inverse temperatures, beta I, beta R. And here the idea is that of enlarging the state space. So we have our state space S, which is the one in which we perform the measures. So for instance, S is the space of all configurations of N molecules. But then we enlarge the state space adding an index I that runs from 1 to R. The index I is associated with the temperatures. So for I equal 1, to I equal 1, we associate the temperature beta 1. To I equal 2, we associate temperature beta 2. So a configuration in the simulating tempering method is a pair. X, which is the configuration in the state space we start from, and I, which is the index. And configurations are sampled with a probability, which is alpha I e to minus beta I h divided by z pi. Note so that the connection between I and the temperature at whenever the configurations contains index I equal 3, the probability distribution contains e to minus beta 3 h. So there is a connection between I and the inverse temperature. Alpha I are positive numbers that we will discuss immediately. And z pi is the same partition function that is introduced in the umbrella sampling method. And indeed, the condition that pi, capital pi, is a probability. So when we sum over all configurations, which in this case means summing over all x, but also over all i's, we obtain 1. You immediately see that you get z pi equal to the sum of alpha I, z I, exactly as in the umbrella sampling method. You can realize that the two methods are identical if you compute average values of functions that only depend on x. So for instance, we have a function a of x, and we want to compute its average value in the umbrella sampling probability distribution and in the simulating tempering probability distribution. And you immediately see that in both cases, we obtain exactly the same result. So the two expressions are exactly the same. So the two methods provide exactly the same average values. The advantage in many cases of the simulated tempering approach is that we have a simple visualization of the dynamics. In the simulated tempering approach, we imagine that we have a system, which is X, and several temperatures, beta 1, beta R, and during our simulation, the dynamics is such that the temperature varies dynamically. So we have at a certain moment the system at a temperature beta 1, then the temperature is changed, so the index I changes from I equal to 1 to I equal to 2, which means that we change the temperature at which the system is kept from beta 1 to beta 2, and so on. So the dynamics in the simulated tempering approach is visualized the dynamics of our system in which the temperature is varied during the simulation. This is how the thing is visualized, but note that in practice, everything is identical, is equivalent to the umbrella sampling dynamics. Of course, the equivalence between umbrella sampling and simulated tempering implies that the conditions under which the two methods that reasonably work are exactly the same. So as in the umbrella sampling method, we require that the distributions, the energy distributions between for temperatures which are one close to the other, so for beta I and beta I plus or minus 1, they simply overlap. Because if they don't overlap, the system doesn't move. And again, we have a condition on the coefficients alpha I, and the optimal condition is that alpha I times zi is approximately equal to alpha j zj. It's important that this is to note that this is an optimality condition, so that even if it's not exactly satisfied, it's satisfied with some error, the algorithm is still a correct algorithm. Again, we should specify how to obtain canonical averages from simulated tempering simulations, and the equivalence between umbrella sampling and simulated tempering allows us to use the estimator that we have discussed in the context of the umbrella sampling. So if we want to compute the average value A at temperature beta, we just consider the ratio of two average values computed using the simulated tempering data. In the numerator, we have the average value of A, the exponential of e to minus beta h, and everything is divided by f pi. And in the denominator, we have the same expression, the average value of e to minus beta h divided by f pi, where f pi is the sum of alpha I e to minus beta I h of x. So this is the estimator that we discussed in the context of the umbrella sampling method, and it works also here with no changes. But in the context of the simulated tempering, there is also another method that allows you to compute average values, and here I will discuss it in the case in which we want to compute average values at beta I, one of the temperatures that we have chosen to define the probability distribution. So the idea here is to define what is called the indicator function, so capital I with index I again, which is equal to the Kronecker delta, delta ij. So it's important that you understand the symbols. So we have capital I, index I, and then this is a function of the configurations. The configurations are xj. So first the indicator doesn't depend on x. The result is independent of x, depends only on the index j. If the index j is different from the index I, we get zero. If the index j is equal to the index I, you get one. So on a configuration, you get one only if the index I is equal to the index j of the configuration. Now let's compute the average value of A. A is a generic function of x times the indicator function. So here you have to replace, to introduce the probability distribution capital pi and sum over all configurations xj. So then in the first step, we use the definition of the indicator function. So we replace the indicator function with delta ij. And then we use delta ij to eliminate the sum over j. So this simply means that when we do the sum over j, we always get zero except when I is equal to j. So this means that we have to replace j with I in the sum. So alpha I goes outside of the summation over x, and we are left with 1 over z pi alpha I times the sum over x e to minus beta I h a of x. Then we simply multiply and divide by the canonical partition function at temperature beta I that we call z I, and then we obtain the expression which tells you that the average value of A times the indicator function is zi alpha I divided by z pi times the canonical average value at temperature beta I. We want to compute also the average value of the indicator function, and we can obtain the average value of the indicator function from the previous formula, simply setting A equal to 1. And since the canonical average of 1 is 1, we obtain formula 4 at page 2. And this tells you that we can also compute the average value at beta I as the ratio of two average values that contain the indicator function. So once you understand the meaning of this expression, and we begin with understanding the meaning of formula 4, so the meaning of the average value of the indicator function. And here we have to imagine that during the Monte Carlo simulation, of course, configurations are given by x and by I. So suppose that we measure a function a of x. So at each, for instance, after each iteration, we save on disk the value of the index, which is essentially the value of the current temperature, and the estimate, the value of a of x on the current configuration x. So at each iteration, we save both the index, which tells you the current temperature of the system, and the value of A on the current configuration. So we have a sequence of pairs, I1, A1, I2, A2, I3, A3, up to A n, which are the values which are defined here, and small n is the number, the total number of measures. So suppose we want to estimate the average value of the indicator function. Of course, average values are computed using the sample mean. So the estimator is the sample mean of the indicator function, which is given by 1 over small n, 1 divided by the number of measurements. And then we have the sum over all iterations, over all measures, of the delta ik. So this delta is equal to 1 only if ik is equal to I, which means that at time k, the temperature, the current temperature, is beta I. In all these cases, the delta gives you 1, so the sum which appears here tells you simply how many times the system was at temperature beta I when we did the measurement. So the sample mean is nothing but the number of measures that have been performed while the temperature, the inverse temperature, was beta I, divided by the total number of Monte Carlo measurement. So this is the expression, and here note that the mean value of the indicator is equal to zi alpha I over z pi, and so this tells you a different interpretation for our optimality condition. Remember that the algorithm works nicely if zi times alpha I is essentially independent of I. And in practice, this tells you that we want that ni, so the total number of measures performed when the temperature, the inverse temperature, is beta I, is independent of I, which tells you that the optimality condition is essentially identical to the requirement that we visit all temperatures with the same frequency. All temperatures are approximately visited with the same frequency, with the same probability. Now let's see what is the meaning of the second average values, the average values of A, multiplied by the indicator function. The estimator is again the sample mean, and now it's easy to understand what is the meaning of the sum. The sum here is a sum in which we only consider the values ak when the temperature was beta I. So we are selecting the values of ak corresponding to current temperatures equal to beta I. So the estimator of A times the indicator function is 1 over n times S of I, which is the number of measures that have been obtained when the temperature was beta I. So the average value of A at temperature beta I is obtained in a very simple formula. So you want to compute the average value, the canonical average value of beta I. You select the number of measures that correspond to beta I, and you take the sample average, the sample mean of these measures. So the measures that correspond to the inverse temperature beta I. And this is the usual formula that we use when we compute average values. There is one caveat, however, for the computation of the error, that when we use the sample mean, the number of measures is fixed, is something that we have decided, corresponds to the length of the simulation. While here, capital N is a stochastic variable, is a variable that fluctuates. So here, both the numerator and the denominator are variables in our Monte Carlo simulation, and so one should be careful in the computation of the error. One can use the formula which correspond to ratios, but usually the method which is used here is the jackknife.